morning. Scripture reading is from Samuel 17, verse 20 through 50. Albert warned me this would be a long one, and I kind of feel like the warm-up band for the Beatles. David rose early in the morning, left the sheep with a keeper, and took the provisions and went as Jesse had commanded him. He came to the encampment as the army was going forth to the battle line, shouting the war cries. Israel and the Philistines drew up for battle, army against army. David left things in charge of the keeper of the baggage and ran to the ranks and went and greeted his brothers. As he talked with them, the champion of the Philistines of Gath, Goliath by name, came up out of the ranks of the Philistines and spoke the same words as before, and David heard him. David said to Saul, "Let no one's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine." Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are just a boy, and he has been a warrior from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep sheep for his father, and whenever a lion or a bear came and took a lamb from the flock, I went after it, struck it down, rescuing the lamb from its mouth, and as if it turned against me, I would catch it by the jaws and strike it down and kill it. Your servant has killed both lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, since he has defied the armies of the living God," David said. "The Lord, who has saved me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, will save me from the hand of this Philistine." So Saul said to David, "Go, and may the Lord be with you." Then he took his staff in hand and chose five smooth stones from the wadi and put them in his shepherd's bag. In the pouch, his sling was in hand, and he drew near the Philistine. The Philistine came on and drew near David with his shield bearer in front of him. When the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and handsome in appearance. The Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you've come to me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and to the wild animals of the field." But David said to the Philistines, "You come with the sword and spear and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you've defied. This very day the Lord will deliver into my hands, and I will strike you down and cut off your head, and I will give the dead bodies of the Philistine army this very day to the birds of the air and the wild animals of the earth, so that all the earth may know there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly may know that God does not save by the sword or the spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." When the Philistine drew nearer to meet David, David ran quickly towards the battle line to meet the Philistine. David put his hand in his bag, took out a stone, slung it, and struck the Philistine in his forehead. The stone sank deep into his forehead, and he fell forward down onto the ground. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, striking the Philistine and killing him. There was no sword in David's hand. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Michelle. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Most holy God, we thank you indeed for your word, and we thank you for this beautiful day, this opportunity to be in your presence, to be with fellow believers, the family of Christ, to be here to encourage one another and be lifted up by your word and your message. I pray, God, that if there's anything that might hinder any of us to be open and receptive today, that your Spirit will take care of it this moment. We have come to hear your word, and so we pray that you will now open our ears and our hearts. And we pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. So we've been discovering all the ways that God brings us hope in the face of a world that often seems hopeless. How Jesus brings us hope when we are weary and weary from the heaviness of life, and how we do not have to walk this journey through life alone by ourselves. And the hope that comes from the grace of Jesus, because we see his grace when we are broken by sin, and how we can forgive because we have been forgiven. And also that there is hope even in the midst of our doubts, when we trust the source and look into the face of Jesus and see that all is really well. So today, as we finish this series, I want to talk about hope for the underdog. Hope for when we feel like we're facing more than we can handle. I think there's a reason why, you know, we like movies like Rudy and Rocky and Hoosiers. I mean, you've probably seen at least one of those movies, but we love these movies because they all have a common theme. They're all movies about underdogs, and maybe you have your own movie that you really like about underdogs, but they're films about unlikely characters overcoming amazing odds. They're all told in different ways and all have their own unique outcomes, but they all tell a story really of hope. And maybe these movies do something to us because we at some level all know what it feels like to face overwhelming circumstances that, you know, that we can't overcome on our own. We cheer for the underdog because somehow we feel like if they can win, so can we. And I'm sure that, you know, you will agree today that life is full of daunting situations. If you're a parent, sometimes being a parent can feel incredibly overwhelming. Or navigating a global pandemic can be more than, you know, we can handle. Juggling careers and family, it can be something that's really hard to do well. Growing in your faith and defeating sinful habits, I mean, it can be a challenge. And maybe it's because all of these things are very hard to do by yourself. Maybe these things are not meant to be done alone. So the Bible, you know, is also full of stories of characters who, against all odds, experience victory. But there's a common thread in these stories as well. The characters are all fully aware that without God on their side, there's no hope of a favorable outcome. Left to themselves, they would face certain defeat, like the story of David and Goliath, our scripture reading for this morning. And this, by the way, happens long before David is king of Israel. At this point, he's just a young boy. And it says, David got up early the next morning, left someone else in charge of the sheep, took the food, and went as Jesse had told him to. He arrived at the camp just as the Israelites were going out to their battle line, shouting the war cry. And the Philistine and the Israelite armies took positions for battle facing each other. Just hours before David arrives at the front lines of a massive conflict between the Israelite and the Philistine armies, he's in the fields. He's taking care of sheep. And so from the beginning of this story, it's clear that David has found himself in a position that is kind of like above his pay grade. As a matter of fact, the first readers of this text would have been overwhelmed by the change of scenery from the fields to the fight. And so here's the first, you know, thought that I have for you today. We are rarely, rarely prepared for the fight. The truth is that We're hardly ever prepared to handle what life throws at us. It's a phone call with a diagnosis. It's a discovery of infidelity. It's a temptation we did not see coming. It's the shock of the loss of a loved one. It's rarely that we are prepared for those things. It's not like you ask to be placed in a position where there is no clear route to victory. This is where David finds himself within the first few verses. And maybe this is where you find yourself today. You're battling something in your life that you were not prepared for. And because you find yourself in a place like this, you need some kind of hope. Well, if that's where you are today, you have to make a decision. You have to decide how you will respond. Do you give up and accept defeat? Or do you trust in God to give you the strength to carry on? David arrives at the front lines to check on his brothers who are fighting in the Israelite army. It's at that point that he gets the first real look at what the Israelite army was up against. As he was talking to them, to his brothers, Goliath came forward and challenged the Israelites as he had done before. And David heard him, and when the Israelites saw Goliath, they ran away in terror. And then a little further in this passage, David talks to King Saul. And David said to Saul, "Your Majesty, no one should be afraid of this Philistine. I will go and fight him." "No," answered Saul. "How could you fight him? You're just a boy and he's been a soldier all his life." "Your Majesty," David said, "I take care of my father's sheep. I have killed lions and bears, and I will do the same to this Philistine, this heathen Philistine, who has defiled the army of the living God. The Lord has saved me from lions and bears. He will save me from the Philistines." You can hear the determination within David. And though he's just a boy, he knows someone has to stand up to this threat, to this massive man named Goliath, a decorated warrior from Philistine who struck fear into the hearts of all who saw him. No one was willing to take on this giant. However, someone has to do something, and David is willing to take that on. So what causes a young boy, you know, an underdog, to take on such a mountainous task? It has to be hope, right? Hope that he will not fight this battle alone. Hope that with God's help, there's nothing that is impossible. Hope that what little he has to offer is somehow enough. So where does this hope come from? David has hope because of God's faithfulness to him in the past. God was with him when he was protecting sheep in the field from lions and bears. And so he says, surely the Lord will protect me now as well. And so here's the second point. If God is for us, nothing can stand against us. If God, Almighty God, is for us, then who can stand really against us? Because you see, when you find yourself in a season of struggle, you need to remind yourself about something. You need to remind yourself of how God has been with you in the past. Because hope is really a byproduct of trust. When you believe that something is trustworthy, when you believe that someone is trustworthy, it somehow gives you a sense of hope. I remember when my kids were small and we would play in the swimming pool. They had no problem launching themselves from the side of the pool into the deep end. Why? Because I was there waiting for them. There was no fear. There was no concern. There was only trust in the Father's love to catch them, as I have done so many times in the past. They were hopeful that though they will splash into the water in the deep end, I would catch them and keep their heads above water. And that's where David's confidence comes from. He has hope because of God's faithfulness. And it is the drive he needs to overcome any fear. And Saul, you know, the king of Israel at the time, wanted to fit David with heavy armor and weapons to protect him in the conflict, but none of the armor fit and was too heavy. And so David decides that he's going to fight Goliath with nothing but a slingshot and five smooth stones. I mean, talk about a long shot. And when Goliath sees David, he says, "Do you think I'm a dog that you would come to me with a stick?" And he curses David and breathes out threats. And so David responds by saying, "Today the Lord will hand you over to me. The battle belongs to him." Goliath fights with a sword, spear, and javelin. David is letting God fight the battles for him. And that's the next point I want to make to you. It's really a spiritual battle. And we need God to fight with us. We are really in a spiritual battle, and so we need God to fight with us. Maybe you don't feel equipped to overcome the things that you are facing. Well, you're in good company, okay? Maybe you know that your trial is too much for you. I'd say it's a good place to start. Because you see, when we realize that our battles are not waged in conventional ways, when we understand that it's more of a spiritual fight, then we will begin to experience God fighting for us. For David, this is really a spiritual battle, and it takes God's involvement. It takes God's involvement to experience victory. This is what the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians 6:12. We're not fighting against humans. We're fighting against forces and authorities and against rulers of darkness and powers in the spiritual world. We're mostly fighting a spiritual battle. So if our battles are not really about the physical world around us, then we can't overcome them by physical means. So it takes a spiritual approach. We fight our daunting battles by submitting to the will of God. We fight our most difficult circumstances by bringing them to God in prayer. We fight the evil that we come up against by inviting God to intervene on our behalf. And so David calls upon God as he engages Goliath on the battlefield. And then with a single stone, a precise throw, and the power of God, David's shot flies straight and true and connects the giant's forehead, and the giant falls to the ground and is dead. And then the single victory turns the tide of the entire war. The Philistines run. And the Israelites pursue. And suddenly the once frightened Israelite army is emboldened by a little boy and his sling because of David's bravery and trust in God. They're all given a hope that they too can be part of the triumph of God. And so let me close with this final point. And that is that hope is really contagious, okay? Hope is contagious. David's hope in God spreads like wildfire. And the entire story changes. The entire narrative takes a new tone. It's no longer about defeat, it's now about victory. Because you see, there's something that happens within a fellowship of faith when just one person has the audacity to believe God for great things. The church benefits greatly from just one person with a little hope, because hope is contagious. It spreads. One of my favorite stories that I like to tell, 2 weeks ago we had a few visitors here from my former church, or one of my former churches in Ridgewood, Trinity. And one of the ladies' name was Bridget, and Bridget brought back a favorite story I remember. When I was serving at Trinity, my kids were very little. Annalise was doing the Sunday school. And Annalise had this dream of starting a vacation Bible school in this small church. And Annalise prayed about this. And she prayed that God would send someone, because she didn't know how, she couldn't do this possibly by herself, but that God would send someone to make this possible. And just about 2 weeks later, Annalise was down in the fellowship hall teaching the young kids, and in walks a woman, Bridget. And she starts a conversation with Annalise and says, "I see you're busy with the kids, and she says, "You know, I'm looking for a new church, and I used to lead a vacation Bible school in the church that I left, and I so want to do that again." And Annalise said, "You're the answer to my prayer." And she got excited, and she said, "I have a whole group of people who normally work with me." And we started with about 15, 20 kids the first year. The second year, it was like 35 kids. By the third year, there were 90 kids. We had to show kids away because we just couldn't fit all of them physically in the building. And she brought her expertise and a group of people who just knew how to do it, and they did an awesome job. And I always remember that story, because you see, hope is contagious. It begins with one person who believes that God can use them. It takes one person with a heart for a particular cause. It takes one person who believes that prayer changes things. And it could just be the spark that ignites a whole congregation of hope. And that person could be you. Thomas Aquinas said it this way: faith has to do with things that are not seen, and hope with things that are not at hand. Even though you cannot see how God might come through for you in the battle you are facing right now, even though you feel overwhelmed and believe that the odds are really stacked against you, that you really have no chance, faith is believing that it's somehow still possible. Why? Because God is more powerful than any force in the universe. And if God is with me, then there is nothing I cannot overcome. With His help, I can choose faith over fear. And it's with that kind of hope in my life that my world and the world around me changes. Amen. Let us pray. Merciful Lord, we all have a battle that we fight every day. We all have problems that we deal with, and so often these battles, these problems seem so overwhelming that there's no chance, that there's no way in which we can overcome or defeat what we're struggling with. Thank you for the story of underdogs who achieve victory. Thank you for the story of David who made the battle your battle, and how you, through your power, used him to overcome all the odds. Lord, my God, I'm not sure what exactly everyone here this morning faces, what their battle is, how they feel about it, how desperate they are for hope and for help. So I pray that your Spirit will convince them and make them believe and give them the hope that anything can happen, that anything can change, because nothing is impossible for you. And with you on our side, God, we don't have to fear, and that anything is possible. I pray for victory in their lives. I pray for victory in the life of our church. And may we all be people of hope, and may it become so contagious that we would just spread hope all around us in a world that seems so hopeless to so many. Thank you for the living hope, God, we find in your Son, Jesus Christ. It's in His name that we pray. Amen.